beautiful kitty. One for one at this track, and look, respectable last time at Beyond Hurry Up, Harry JT's The Fox. That was a pretty handy run, and the run behind Get Your Kicks was also solid. So she's not without a chance from that inside gate. I made it 3-1-4-2, Simon.
3-1-4-2, and race 7 is the last, a class 1 maiden over 1600. Take out 8 Big Baloo. And whipping through the board, 1 Sin City, 34-41, 2 Crash Crenash, 240-250, 3 Nicarlo, 950-12, 4 Regal Reese, 16-19, 5 Star Cod, 41-31, 6 Thunder Tub, 270, 7 Real Royal, 850 out to 10, 9 Midnight Jumper, 71-100-1, 10 Tennessee Dancer, 51-34, and 11 Kiwi Cod, 6-5. The $2.50 favourite, Crash Crenash.
Yeah, not a bad run race this, Simon. 6-2, 11-7 for me. I'm going to give it to Thunder Tub off the inside gate. Donna Scott's got this going really well, but its Aubrey runs have both been good, 14 and 1,500 metres. Look, it comes off what we'll call almost a mini spell. Its last run was at the end of October, so wouldn't have lost a lot of fitness there. And I think it can get a few favours in the run, so I'm going to go with it. Obviously, Crash Crenac, just terrific. Its last two runs at Ararat and Bendigo. The Bendigo run was really good in that 0-58. That was on a soft, but look, one win from 13 was over 1,400 metres. It's failed a few times at the mile previously, but on its last run, you'd think from gate five with a reasonable run, it's not going to have too much trouble with the distance. It's going to be right there for sure. 11 Kiwi Cod, this interests me a little bit. Just turning the page, Simon, these never very easy, but Kayla Nisbet in the saddle for this on this for Scott Spackman. And last placing was pretty handy, if I can turn the page and find it. That was at Orby, that Hyington place, going in style, that maiden race. But look, the last three runs from this have been okay. And placing at the mile keeps it right under notice here. And I thought 7, probably best of the rest. Royal's got pretty good track stats round here at Corowa. So look, the top three look the ones there, though. 6-2, 11-7, Simon.
6-2, 11-7 in the last. So to Raven, the best, John.
Look, I don't think it's a very strong race, Simon, and I'm going to forgive him for the first up run at Wang there. I think a repeat of his form last prep will see him too good here. So race 2, number 4, the Raven, my best from Corowa today, mate.
Catch you from the yard, John.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Simon.
Here he is, Johnny Skewis, with his look at racing at Corowa and recapping an earlier start to the program, the first due at 11:15.
Sunday morning at 10:30, catch Pacing Rewind on Sky Sports Radio.
It is time for the last edition of Pacing Rewind for the year. Fred Hastings, good morning.
G'day, Simon G. Scores. He's a tough act to follow. I'm under pressure.
No, you'll be fine, Freddie. How was Maitland last night? They had the Group 3 Intercity Pace final on.
Yeah, look, the 56th Intercity Pace, it is one of the real time-honoured races. I know it's a bit of a cliche bandied about, but it's a race that's just steeped in tradition, run by some very good horses. And just to give you a little illustration, the horse that won it last year, Our Triple Play, came out and won the Shirley Turnbull at Group 2 just 4 days ago, or 5 days ago. So, I mean, it's a good horse's race, and I really think the horse that won the race last night, we'll see a bit and hear a bit more about, but we'll talk more about that soon. The meeting kicked off with Mr. Taptoe Lombo in a very busy finish, getting in by a slender margin, and there was a dead heat for second, so there were horses all over the track. It was welcome back to Maitland, Fred, because I really earned my keep there with that finish. They were all over the place, but Mr. Taptoe Lombo got it for Jeff Dawn. Rococo won race 2 for Jamie Bond. Jamie's only had a handful of drives back since a pretty nasty race fall, and I tell you what, confidence isn't his problem, because he's done a great job since he's been back, Jamie. And that was his 49th training victory last night, with Rococo leading all the way, so blinding gate speed. And it might be a horse to keep an eye on. Just its natural gate speed certainly is an attribute. Squire landed the first of a double for Josh Gallagher, one in a close finish from Black Silhouette. I mentioned Josh Gallagher, Simon. I'm not sure if you can recall at the very start of the season, I nominated a driver to keep an eye on in the junior ranks this season, and Josh was the driver I nominated. He's currently sitting in the top 10 statewide drivers. He's having a terrific season, and he landed a double last night. The second of his wins was in race 5 with Halfway Home, so he's driving great guns, Josh. Before that, Jake Hughes won the fourth with our Bushwhacker. That was a race I never thought we'd get away, Simon. We had a fall just after the start, and Brad Elder was the driver that suffered the injury. He came up and he got a fair bit of hang time in the air when the horse came down, and he seemed to come down on his face. Now, Brad's had a few nasty falls in the last probably 4 years, and his model looks are certainly being damaged by face planting at various tracks. He hit the ground hard, but all he sustained was a little nick over the top of his forehead or his eyebrow where his goggles sort of cut into him as he hit the ground. He was cleared by the medicos to drive, and it was a good thing because he did come out and win a race later. But that fourth race, after he had a couple of late scratchings and a rerun, we then had a false start, so we eventually got the race away, and a nice drive by young Jake Hughes saw our Bushwhacker win. I mentioned Halfway Home, Exterminate for Dan Morgan. It led all the way at big odds, 30-1. It was aided by a couple of scratchings inside, and Exterminate, it'll win more races. It does a good job up in that region, and Exterminate won the sixth. We'll miss the. We'll give the. We'll come back to the intercity pace sign. Elite Bobby for Brad Elder. As I said, Brad bounced back after that fall, and he was able to win with Elite Bobby. A nice drive, and the aptly named Sunday Sesh won race number 9, I think, driven by Andrew Burke, owned by the Latters, and I reckon they got a little cup last night, a little trophy, Simon, and I've got no doubt there'll be a big Sunday Sesh happening for those connections of Sunday Sesh.
Yeah.
Toast out of that trophy cup that they won. But well done to the Latters, and it was a nice drive by Andrew Burke. Sunday Sesh doing a good job to win the last. But the feature race, as you alluded, Simon, at the top of the show, was the 56th running of the Intercity Pace.
Third split, 29-6, and it's still Persimmon giving. Persimmon the leader. Bennelong Valley sprints strongly now. Comes up out three wide. They were followed by a shark further back in that firing line there as they swing in for home was Pocket of Terror. Persimmon the leader. Bennelong Valley is inch by inch trying to cut back the margin. Persimmon lifting. Leg down the outside, finishing on with See You in Nashville. But Persimmon with a kick, and Persimmon. Persimmon wins. Maybe See You in Nashville and knows Bennelong Valley and Megs Monaro.
So Persimmon jumped the $2.70 favourite in the Intercity Pace final last night. And Chris Geary was driving. He joins us on the show now. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
Chris, congratulations, and well done also to trainer Kevin Pizzuto because, he won the Inter going back earlier this month, and he's won a different Inter, the Intercity Pace this time with this very talented gelding.
Yeah, Kev's had a great few months, and no surprise, he always does a really good job with all of his horses, and this guy was no different last night. He set him for this series, and he hasn't had him a hell of a long time, but Kev was pretty confident that, he'd get up there and do a really good job, and he was spot on.
Yeah, well, since he's joined the stable, Chris, he's had 5 goes. He's won 3 of them, and he's placed second on the other 2 occasions, so he's certainly been earning. And I thought you summed the race up nicely in the early stages. They sort of found their places, and you were back in the field, and you took off and made a mid-race move to try and catch the leaders napping. And was that always your intention, just to see how the marbles fell just after the start, or were you just going to play it by ear as to whether you came out off the arm?
We never really had a set plan. Sort of one of those races where it was so even and a number of things could have happened. So we just sort of elected just to play it by ear and see what happened. And I knew there was probably going to be a bit of early speed there. So sort of thought my best chance was, not to be involved in any of that early burn. And sort of landed back in the field. They all sort of sorted themselves out pretty quickly and, just tapped the brakes coming around that first turn into the straight with a couple to go. And it was probably sort of forced me to make a move probably a little earlier than what I would have liked, and I was just lucky enough that he's got that such good acceleration that he was able to buzz around to the front.
Is he a capable horse in that he's got the ability to produce a couple of runs in a race? Because you had to use him in, the, as you said, with two to go. You had to come up and Pocket of Terror quickened up to try and keep you out, but you were able to cross. And then you needed, obviously, some juice at the back end of the race where Bennelong Valley and CU in Nashville were closing. Has he got that ability to produce a couple of runs in a race?
Oh, I think so, Fred. He's running the heat quite good last week. He sort of his last three quarters were quite genuine and he still felt strong for the line. So it sort of gave me a bit of confidence that, you know, I sort of thought that no matter what way the race panned out and what we had to do, that, you know, he was probably capable of doing it, which, you know, probably helped a lot, especially around a track like Maitland where it's so tight. I think that versatility probably just had a little bit of an advantage over a couple of the other favoured runners.
He's got a bit of high speed about him. What's your thoughts as far as, you know, when he hits the big track at Menangle? Obviously, he handled the little tight turning track at Maitland, but with his high speed, you'd like to think he's going to be a bit of a force at Menangle.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, Freddie. I think he's a horse that's going to keep improving too. He took a fairly lightly race and, you know, he seems like he's getting better every time he goes around. And Kev still has the opinion that he's quite a good horse to drive with a sit too. He's got that high speed. So, it'll be interesting to see when he gets to an angle, just sort of how he lines up with them all. But, from what he's done so far, I can't sort of fault him and see why he wouldn't.
You were in an enviable position coming into the final last night. You had pretty much a choice of a number of drives because you partnered several of the heat winners in the heats. Was it an easy decision in the end to stick with Persimmon? Was it the association that you've built up over the years with Kev, the clinching factor?
It probably was. Like I said, all three of the horses that qualified, they all raced really well in their heats. All three of them won sort of in different styles. So I honestly probably couldn't put the three horses that qualified. It probably just come down to, like you said, the association with Kev. And he's always been really good to me and looked after me. So, it was good to be able to repay him.
That association, of course, stemmed back to Thursday where you partnered Major League. She's a mare who, I was talking to Kevin, he's got a bit of an opinion of it. She's made it back-to-back wins this campaign, but I think Kev might be setting her for something a little bit better down the track. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I quite like her, Freddie. I've only driven her in a couple of times now, and I think she was first up for a little while at Bankstown when she won Friday a week ago, and she was quite good there and come out of Penrith on Thursday night. Felt really sharp and won quite well. So, I quite like it. Seems like she's got a lot of high speed, good gate speed. She's a lovely little mare to drive. And, I'm sure that she's proven at the angle that she can can run those sorts of times. I've got a lot of time for her.
All right, another stable, your partner, Better Robin, made a mistake and it was a sensational run on debut at Goulburn, but you partnered Better Robin on Thursday and she's doing a good job.
Yeah, she seems like a nice little filly, still very green and immature and still learning to race. And Thursday things sort of, they worked out well for her early and then sort of got a little bit of a check around the last bend, but took her sort of the whole way up the straight to run down the leader, but felt quite strong on the line, and I'm sure the more racing she has, she'll keep on improving.
Of course, you work for Tim Budd, and you would have seen with great interest the effort of Myfield Marshall in the Village Kid at Gloucester Park on Friday night. He looks like he's really switched on this campaign and obviously targeting the Miracle Mile.
Yeah, he's come back really well, Freddie. His first up run was really impressive, and we're really happy with him. And then he sort of had a bit of a long trip. He had to fly to Melbourne and then fly to Perth a couple of days later. And I think they're really happy with him, how he settled in over there and come out on Friday night and raced really well. So I'm sure he'll take a lot of benefit out of that.
He's built his barn up real nice, hasn't he, Tim? He's got some really nice horses, and we've seen Rakapuka Ruler performing okay, and obviously Myfield Marshall. We'll see, no doubt, the best of Let It Ride in the coming season or in the coming half of the season. But he's got some other, you know, nice bread and butter horses in the stable too. Just one that springs to mind, Franco Landry.
Yeah, definitely, Franny. There's there's a lot of nice horses there, and it's sort of one of those things where it's really good at, you know, finding those horses and developing them, and he's not scared to take a punt on one if he thinks it's even if it might be a 12-month project. But like Franco Landry's a great example. He sort of, when he first came, he was probably a little green and still had a lot to learn, and he's just improved every time he's gone to the track. So there's, like I said, there's a lot of nice horses there, and I'm sure they have a lot of fun.
All right, now you're off to Goulburn today. I haven't seen the scratchings. I'm assuming they're both still in. Wild Man, second in a trial recently, and Divine State, who you partnered in a trial recently, where you placed. I haven't checked the scratchings. I assume they're still in, Chris?
They'll both be there today,
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Wild Man's a debutante in a small field, a small-sized field.
I just spoke to Luke briefly the other day about him, and he has caught a lot of time for him. He thinks to be quite a nice horse, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Obviously, he's first up and having his first start, but he quite likes him and thinks that it's quite a suitable race for him down there. And hopefully everything goes well with him, and he should be thereabouts.
And Divine State's back from a spell, draws inside the second line, so might need a little bit of luck from that draw, but we know how classy the horse is.
Yeah, for sure, Freddie. He's a great juvenile, and he's a horse that's probably quite a tricky horse to drive. He can get a little bit fierce in his races, so it's probably not ideal inside the second line. But in saying that, if things pan out for him in the run somewhere, I'm sure that, like you said, that class will probably carry him a long way today.
Good on you. Good luck. Good driving. Get around safe. Thanks for giving us some time this morning, and we'll catch up with you, no doubt, in the new year, Chris.
No worries. Thanks, Freddie. All the best.
Good on you. Chris Geary there, one of the real talented drivers, Simon, in New South Wales, one of that young brigade. And just on the young brigade, Will Rickson turned 18 on Friday, and he landed his 100th career winner on Thursday night. So he managed to set that milestone prior to turning 18. And as I leave you, I got a little bit of news from the Kevin Pizzuto barn. I spoke to Kev, and he's heading off to Perth on the 7th of January to take on the two cup races over there, and all things being equal, he'll then come back to Melbourne for the Hunter Cup. He gave me the impression, Simon, that a Miracle Mile start, he's just going to let the horse tell him whether he's up to a Miracle Mile campaign. But at the moment, his immediate targets the Frio Cup, the WA Cup, and, of course, the Hunter Cup. So that's where Tiger Tara will pop up in the coming weeks. He's off to Perth on the 7th, which is tomorrow week. And as I said, just got the impression from Kev, he just said he'll just see how he goes with regards the Miracle Mile. He'll let the horse tell him how he's travelling coming into that carnival.
Righto, Freddie. Well, all the best for the new year.
And to you, Simon, and to all our listeners, have a fantastic, healthy and profitable 2019.
Catch you soon, Fred. Have a wonderful day.
Cheers, Simon.
There he is, Fred Hastings, with Pacing Rewind. It's 13 minutes to 11. In just a moment, Mick Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales with this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind.
Fertile grass, rich soils and expert horse people give New Zealand thoroughbreds a winning edge. Graduates of New Zealand Bloodstock's yearling sales scored 120 stakes wins and 18 Group 1 wins last season alone. They've laid claim to the last five consecutive Australian Oaks and five out of the seven Australasian Group 1 Guineas last season. Destined for racetrack stardom, over 1,200 yearlings are on offer at Karaka this summer. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
The stars shine daily in Greyhound Racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
Welcome back. Mick Cowley joins us now. Mick, good morning.
Good morning, Simon. How are you, mate? How was Christmas?
Yeah, pretty quiet for me. Just worked all around it and had a fairly relaxing day on Tuesday. So it was the best way that I could have spent it. How was yours?
Mate, not too bad, not too bad. Spent it with the family. There's always racing on around Christmas. We get that one day, and that's pretty much it, isn't that the case?
Now, I tell you what, it's been a good start to the training career of Chris Carr last night at Wentworth Park. He only resigned as the secretary manager of the Richmond Greyhound Club earlier in the month, and he's already hit the ground with a training double.
Didn't muck around, did he? No, and it wasn't at Richmond either. It was at Wenty. A couple of city winners. He's decided to take up full-time training. And congrats to him. Yeah, rostered on in fast car driving. Fast car driving, you may remember, Simon, during the million-dollar Chase Regional Series out at Richmond. It won one of the heats out there. It didn't make it through, unfortunately, but a couple of handy dogs, and, both ran good times. Rostered on, 29.78 and 29.92 for fast car driving. Not bad performances, and a good way to kickstart your career, your full-time career anyway. Congrats to Chris. I'm sure we'll see plenty more winners over the next few months. Good meeting at Wentworth Park last night. I guess we're at that time of year where everyone's winding down a little bit and then gearing up for some of the features in January and February and March. But there's still some good dogs going around. The Robin Goodwin's Shocked, which is a litter mate to Velocity Liberty, which won the Group 1 Peter Mossman earlier in the year. It won a race, 29.96. And we had one of those rare dead heats in greyhound racing. You don't see too many, particularly not for first, but there was one in the last race last night. Caitlin Keeping, Charmaine Roberts' dog, it opened up a lead and got nailed for a dead heat right on the post by Miss Winwong. Fantastic night's racing, and there's plenty of Winky on this week. So I know if you're interested in getting out there, there's a great meeting on Wednesday night, and then we've got another one on Friday and another one on Saturday. So a Friday night one thrown in there for the punters this week, just in case they can't get enough.
Victorian Greyhound Racing last night was at the Meadows, Mick, and we had semi-finals on of the Silver Chief. Let's take in a replay now of the second of those semis, won by Fantastic Yankee.
Racing Fantastic Yankee out fast on the inside, Elite settling down. Over Deliver, followed then by Backbird, who's third, followed then by Rio Brave. Into the first turn, dropping out to last there, would have been Electric Caution. Going down the back straight on Fantastic Yankee, the leader, sped away. Fantastic Yankee went about six lengths clear over Rio Brave. Axel Footloose, followed further back then by Black Signature. Then came Gibrana. Well back now, Deliver, followed then by Backburn. Electric Caution turning. Fantastic Yankee, the leader, two lengths clear. Rio Brave is trying to peg the margin back, but Fantastic Yankee home from Rio Brave. Third of the race, Axel Footloose followed.
So good to see a New South Wales trying greyhound winning one of the semis there, Mick, with Fantastic Yankee taking out the second of those from Rio Brave, and Axel Footloose for Jeff Britton grab third.
Yeah, fantastic result. And I mentioned a bit earlier, Caitlin Keeping, that dead heat in the last race at Wentworth last night. A few people may remember back to Caitlin Keeping. She missed out on the final of the Blacktop at the Gardens back in August, I think, from memory. Dog called Black Forge was scratched out of the race. Caitlin Keeping got the start and took out the Blacktop. Similar kind of situation for Fantastic Yankee. The heats last week actually finished fifth and missed a spot in the semis. Scratching of Weona Roger from that semi last night gave Fantastic Yankee box one, and wearing the nine rugs saluted. Fantastic effort, and ran 29.9 as well. So, and has come up with the checks in the 100,000 to the winner final next Saturday night. But favourite, Brooke Ennis has got Baruga Brett, who went 29.69 in its semi-final win, and it's come up with the reds. So, could be a good race. The pair of them both great chances, but at least New South Wales, we've got a starter in the Silver Chief, the first Group 1 of the calendar year.
Tab.com.au have got the fixed odds up for the Silver Chief final next Saturday. Baruga Brett's at 2.30, Fantastic Yankee at 3.80, and then at 7.50 for Kenlock Miss, or Moss rather, at $8 for Seneki and Chips and Trains. So what's your early selection for the race?
Look, it's going to be hard to go past Baruga Brett. Quality dog with a lot of good form. Raced through the Melbourne Cup heats, preludes and heats down there. But, Fantastic Yankee, he's had a couple of looks at the track now at the Meadows. Certainly impressed with that 29.9 win. And if he can improve a few lengths, you just never know. I think a lot will be decided when the boxes open and the one and the two come charging out. Should be a great race.
Right, Mick. Well, this time last week we had the Gosford Gold Cup heats which were run. And let's take in a replay now. A Beast Unleashed winning his.
Green light going through, power is on, we're ready to run. Second to the Warwick Property Gold Cup. This set. Off and running, the favourite came out beautifully. Beast Unleashed, and it's clearly at the jud by two lengths to Caitlin Keeping. Moving along the inside, Cadillac's Kid, followed by Bad Neighbour. Now going around the outside was Jewel Caroma in the run of the bagger. Now getting a fair way back was Modus Operandi, Laurie Sticker, and Bad Neighbour at the tail of the field. But out of the back straight, Beast Unleashed, the leader. Caitlin Keeping four lengths away, the leader going well as they travel to the turn, and then came Champion Model. But Beast Unleashed bolts in second place, Champion Model. Getting up to run third, Jewel Caroma, Caitlin Keeping, Modus Operandi.
And Beast Unleashed, Mick, who's now one of the equal favourites for the final on Tuesday, was the fastest of the qualifiers.
Very impressive. Yeah, it'd been off the scene for about 5 or 6 months, had one run back, turned up on last Sunday and absolutely blew him away. As you said, yeah, fastest qualifier, 28.9, which actually chopped 24 hundredths off the track record that was set back in 2014 by Avondale Al. Obviously, there's been a bit of track work that has been done over the last few months by GRNSW. Those times, they were certainly good times, but 28.90 did set the pace. The Victorian, She's Gifted, another one that had gone around the week before to get a bit of a look at the track, and yeah, she ran 29.01 for Deb Coleman. They're obviously the two that are likely to find it out, but there's plenty of chances in it. The other heats were won by Cosmic Bonus, the defending champion from last year. Cosmic Bonus last year, 12 months ago, when he won the Gosford Cup, ran 29.48 and came up with a 29.16 last Sunday in winning his heat. And the other one, Federal Lily, I think we spoke about briefly last week, Simon. She came out at that reasonable price too, and she clocked 29.49, which was the slowest of the four heats. But she's in the final. She's an improving greyhound, and you never know what can happen in those big group races. Just with the draw for the final, it's kind of made it a very even, open race. Beast Unleashed has come up with the 4, Federal Lily the 5, She's Gifted the 6, and Cosmic Bonus the 7. So they're all alongside each other. But we can't forget another dog like Sky Wave, third in the Million Dollar Chase earlier in the year. She's drawn barrier up box 3. So, yeah, there's plenty of chances there. So it should be a great race, and that'll be at 9.04 on New Year's night. I know Gosford are expecting or hoping for, and I reckon they should expect a good crowd to turn up for that night. It should be a beauty.
Well, the final Group 1 of the year in Victoria was run last Wednesday. It was the Sale Cup final. Let's take it a replay now of Neo Clio's victory in this.
Old FM Sale Cup racing. And away fast, Blackjack Neo the inside. Here's Neo Clio working across nicely. Dinah Chancer through behind, and Black Impala first corner. This tightening, Blackjack Neo got off the rails. And going back in the field was Billy's Bank and also Van Ann. And Neo Clio got across and dashed away. 4 in front. Mooney on corner goes up on the inside to second. Recovers Black Impala. Blackjack Neo. Further back, Juniper Pearl. Well back then was Dinah Chancer. The rest are struggling on the corner. And still Neo Clio defies them. There's one danger. Mooney on corners out and running now. Neo Clio in front. It's holding them. It's a local victory in the cup. Neo Clio has won the money. Getting through Dinah Chancer's rocketed home in a photo with Mooney on corner for the minor issue.
So replay of the Sale Cup there from last Wednesday night. Neo Clio jumped the $2.50 favourite Mick and defeated Dinah Chancer with Mooney on corner grabbing third.
Yeah, the last, as you said, Simon, the last Group 1 of the calendar year. There's plenty of them around the 12-month period. Yeah, as I said, we've got that first one coming up next Saturday at the Meadows, the Silver Chief, and we wrap up the year with the Sale Cup. And, yeah, congrats to Connections of Neo Clio. Yeah, had been placed a couple of times in group races. I think it was placing in the Hume Cup over the Melbourne Cup Carnival, the Thoroughbred Melbourne Cup Carnival. And, yeah, to finally grab that group win, congrats, as I said, to all Connections.
Righto. Now, what were some of your highlights of the year that was, Mick?
Hey, it's been a big year for greyhound racing, particularly here in New South Wales. We obviously had the inception of the Greyhound Welfare Commission. That happened on July 1. Sounds like only yesterday. We obviously had the Golden Easter Egg, which everyone enjoys over that March-April period. That was won by Uphill Jill. But for me, so I think it's hard to go past the inception of the Million Dollar Chase. Fantastic series. Yeah, it launched at the end of July, and the grand final obviously run on October 20 at Wentworth Park. the regional side of things, you know, 11 regional venues that were taken in, lots of interest in those venues, lots of media interest, lots of public interest. Trainers did get involved. We had winners and runners-up from those finals make their way to Wentworth Park for the semi-finals. Some fantastic results, some fantastic dogs, and it all culminated on that October 20 night when Mystic Riot came out running and was able to hold off Jamella Jett and Skyway for a New South Wales trifecta, which, again, obviously stunned a few people. When there was talk of $1 million first prize, everyone thought, oh, the Victorians will come up and dominate, as they quite often do. But the locals fought bravely and finished 1, 2, and 3, and that was, to me, that's probably the highlight. It kind of brought greyhound racing in New South Wales back into the mainstream media as well. Mm. You know, we're getting good coverage. Front page of the Sydney Morning Herald, back page of both papers. It was a fantastic time. And look, yeah, with a bit more preparation for next year, bigger and better things await. Something to look forward to for sure, Simon.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. It was the first time in a while that greyhound racing had that feeling that it was, you know, going to prosper going forward. And there was many years of terrific success ahead of the industry.